Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Yitro. Parashat Yitro is also when Am Yisrael are getting the Ten Commandments, Tam Torah. And by the way, it's very interesting to you've got six things to remember. Ashkenazim, the Sfarim have got 13 things, I think. And it's Lizkor, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Ma'amad Har Sinai, Amalek, Maaseh HaEgel, Shabbos, Miriam. But one thing puzzled me for many years. I didn't know that the real picture behind it is we have to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim and we have to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. And I was sure that when I say Zecher LeMa'amad Har Sinai, I mean also Matan Torah. Yeah, but when you look, there are small prints on above or underneath that tell you exactly what you have to remember. Nothing written about remembering Matan Torah. So in other words, you have to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai, which is very interesting. In other words, why shouldn't you remember Matan Torah?
But I heard recently, it bothered me a little bit, it's on the subject, and God, according to some, we weren't supposed to receive the Torah, we were supposed to go directly to Israel. Did I learn that right?
I never heard of something like this, no. I didn't hear about it. The thing is, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's asking why... How can I go and save Am Yisrael? And also he says, what right have Am Yisrael got to get out of Egypt? Because Am Yisrael were not exactly tzaddikim. So the answer is very strange. He says, because when you come out, you're going to worship God on this mountain, which is the Mount of Sinai. In other words, what exactly is the answer?
God promised Abraham Avinu.
Yes.
What
did he promise him?
That it would be 400 years in the tribe, and then he's going to take us out and bring us out.
So?
He promised Abraham Avinu.
But, you know, it depends how you do the calculation. Because if you do
No.
You can do also a different calculation, then they will have to stay in Egypt for another 100 years. Because a lot of explanation, how do you calculate 400 years? Because if you calculate 400 years only when the minute they went into Egypt, there's not 400 years. It's only 210.
Yeah, right.
So in other words, what you say is they should have stayed another 190 years.
But you do the calculation already.
Why?
To get
the okay. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, let's make the question interesting. It says, why should they go out now after 210 years? Because you do the calculation like this, in what right do you do the calculation like this? What right have they got, Am Israel, that we are going to take them out of Egypt? So the thing is, what is the answer? The answer is, because they're going to worship me on this mountain. Is this an answer?
Strange
answer. The thing is, what really God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I created the world for one reason. And the one reason is, for Am Yisrael come to this world and
get the Torah.
If not, if there is no Torah day and night, I'm going to destroy the whole world. By the way, this is also a very interesting answer on what's happening later on. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, do you want the Torah? And they say, yes, of course. Na'aseh v'nishma. And then, says kafalem har kegigit. Then the Torah is telling us that he forced them to receive the Torah. So everybody is asking, well, what's happening here? They said that they willingly want to receive the Torah. Why do you have to force them? So there are a lot of answers, but one of the beautiful answers says the Chafetz Chaim. The idea is very simple. It's not threatening them or anything. It's just telling them the facts. You know, the whole world was waiting for you to receive the Torah. If you don't take the Torah, the world is going to be destroyed. That's all. You do what... In other words...
They said it before they knew what was in it. Once they found what was in it, then they had other thoughts about it.
It was free. It says, okay, it's free. Let's take it. It's free. But then they understood, oh, one minute. What's going on here? Oh, no. That's not for us. So then he forced them. Yes. Okay, there are a lot of answers. But the beautiful answer is that we have to understand and realize if Am Yisrael will not receive the Torah at that point in time, there will be no world. In other words, it's not a threat, it's not a fact, because the whole world was built for the Torah. And who is going to do the things in the Torah? Am Yisrael. So this is what really God is answering Moshe Rabbeinu. He's telling him, you have to understand. I don't care what they did or what they didn't do. The fact is that at this certain time, they have to get here and worship me. Because otherwise, if they're not going to come here and take the Torah, there is no world. In other words, the whole reason that they went into Egypt and the whole reason for everything is happening all over the world is for one thing. For Am Yisrael to get at that point here. So this is the answer. So, of course, it's impossible that Am Yisrael will go into Eretz Yisrael without the Torah. Because the Torah is a part of being in Eretz Yisrael. The promise of Eretz Yisrael was the first promise in the Bible. It's from the first Pasuk already. That's Rabbi Yitzchak, what he says in the Midrash, Bereshit bara Elokim ha-shamayim ta'aretz, says, why did the Torah start from telling us the creation? Because koach ma'asav yigid la'amon, atetem nachlat goyim, because God wanted to everybody to know he created the world. And as the creator and the owner of the world, he's got the privilege to take the land and give it to whom he wants. So in other words, if you say they come into Eretz Yisrael and took it from the Canaanite, it's no problem. They don't belong, that's not their country, it's the country of God. And God, he decided to give it to Am Yisrael. That's, by the way, the beginning, the first thing. And then all the promises to Abraham, to Yitzchak, everything is around Eretz Yisrael. But we have to understand, Eretz Yisrael without the Torah is nothing. The combination of Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, the Torah Yisrael, that's the combination. That's what we have to do. So I hope I answer you on your question. Anyway, when we are talking about getting out of Egypt and now going to receive the Torah, we're saying that we have to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai, because what happened in Ma'amad Har Sinai is a proof that God talks with human beings. Otherwise, we can say that Moshe Rabbeinu, for his own interpretation, gave us the Torah. Because it's impossible that God is talking with a human being. Can you imagine to yourself that God, the Almighty, is talking with us, flesh and blood? We are nothing. How is it even possible for something so abstract to have a conversation? Did you have a conversation with God lately? Did you?
I do.
Every day.
Well, I do.
It's once in 5 minutes.
Do you hear? But you don't exactly hear him talking to you. He's talking to us, by the way. He's talking to us through everything that's happening around us. But he's not really talking to us, because we have to understand what is he doing, what did he mean, why did it happen. But the Torah was given directly from God to human being. How? Is it possible? God talked with everybody. That's exactly Ma'amad Har Sinai. Because without Ma'amad Har Sinai, there is no Matan Torah. Because nobody will believe that God talked with Moshe Rabbeinu and he was really telling us the words of God. So in other words, the proof that the Torah is from heaven, from Kodesh Baruch Hu, is Ma'amad Har Sinai. And there are a lot of other things in Ma'amad Har Sinai. Because in Ma'amad Har Sinai happened something unbelievable. Vayichan sham Yisrael ke'ish echad belev echad. This is really something very, very hard to believe.
I think Moshe didn't believe.
But that's a fact, that Am Yisrael were together as one. And this is what we have to understand. That's our mission in life. In other words, if you don't remember Matan Torah, sorry, Torah is something you live. You don't have to remember it. It's something you live every day. That's a part of your life. It shouldn't be something that you have to remember. It should be a part of your life. You should remember that the Torah was given from God directly to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Ma'amad Har Sinai. You should remember that in order to receive the Torah in the proper way, we should be all together. And we should care for each other. And what does it mean to care for each other? I heard a very nice story this Shabbos from a friend of mine. He's talking about a town where this guy came to this town, you know, rabbi, whatever he was, and he was, they gave him a glass of water, he's drinking the water, and he looks, he sees the glass, that the water is dirty, it's not clean. So he's telling them, you should filter the water, you know, it's just, oh, today you have system, you filter the water, and you drink clean water. This can bring illnesses and things, who knows what. Okay, at least they heard what he said. A few months later, he comes to the same place, and the place is burned down. Nothing there. So he's asking the survivor, what happened here? He says, they heard what you said. So before they went to turn off the fire, they filtered the water. Until they finished filtering the water, there was no town. Now, he says, this was said in the Knesiyah of Agudat Israel many years ago in Wien or wherever. And this was said in the subject was getting everybody, doesn't matter who is, closer to God. And there was a whole discussion about it. And then this rabbi brought this story. And it's very simple to understand. It says, if you start filtering who you're going to talk and who you're not going to talk, who is a good Jew and who is not such a good Jew, you will save nobody. Everything is going to be destroyed. So when you have to save life, you don't filter the water. You don't filter. You just go and do it. And I saw it's very interesting because at that morning I read an article that Rav Adam Sinai writes about, he writing about Kabbalah and the inside of the stories. And he says, what is the idea of Yitro giving advice to Moshe Rabbeinu? Really? Moshe Rabbeinu.
As a father-in-law.
Normally it's a mother-in-law. Here it was a father-in-law. Okay. But we have to understand, we don't always listen to the mother-in-law. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu is listening, and hey, who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is Lokam b'Yisrael ke-Moshe Od. This guy needs advice from a goy? Why? What's happening here? What is the Torah trying to tell us? The Torah is telling us something unbelievable. First of all, we have to understand, Yitro is a seeker. He seeks for the truth. And this is why he decides us to join Am Yisrael. In other words, when we talk about Gerim, the symbol of a Ger is Yitro. Because let's look, I hope I'll remember what I want to talk about because I'm going now to something else. Because it's very important. Because what we see is three ways of listening, hearing things. We know that Am Yisrael got out of Egypt and everybody got a fright. Az nivalu alofe edom, elei moav namogu yoshrek tepol elei meata vapaha bigdol zrachet mugu aven ad yavu amchal. Everybody, they heard what happened and they got a fright. They didn't do anything about it, but they got a fright and they were really trembling from fear from the power of God. This is one way of hearing things. The second way is Amalek. What is Amalek doing? He hears all the things, he hears the same. And I'm sure that in a certain point he knew that that's the truth, but he fights against it. Why? Because it doesn't suit his way of life. So he goes and fights against Am Yisrael, against God, against the Torah. That's hearing and doing the opposite thing. And then, by Yishmaito, Yitro is the only one who hears what's happening and does the right thing. What is the difference between those three? And what do they really tell us? So first of all, we all have a fear of God. And sometimes we have a fear of God, but we don't do anything about it. Okay, we fear God. Okay. We have to do something. Action. Then we have this Amalek, which knows everything, but he wants now to do what he wants. If it, for example, can be somebody who is diabetic, he's not allowed to eat sugar, but he wants this cake. He knows it's not good for him. So he will tell you, it's like the smokers. You say, see, you find a smoker at the age of 90, 95. You see, all his life he's smoking. Nothing happened to him. Everything is okay. Nobody, and everybody knows that smoking is dangerous and smoking kills. But, you know, if you want to find excuses, you can always find. So this is the Amalek inside of us. We want something. So we said, okay, so I'll eat this cake. So what? What can so happen? I will eat it. I want to enjoy. I want now. I live now. I want to enjoy now. And that's, unfortunately, a lot of people. Then you have somebody who hears, takes it in, and acts accordingly. That's Yitro. That's why this parsha is calling on the name of Yitro. Because Yitro is something who does. He listens. He is a seeker. He looks for the truth. That's why it's written, Kohen Midian. It's not like somebody from the street. This guy was not only an idol worshiper, he was a priest of idol worshippers. He was the one, let's say the top, like the pope of their belief. And he decides that my belief is wrong. And he decides to go with Am Yisrael. This is Yitro. So we have to say, first of all, who is Yitro? Now let's understand, what is Yitro really telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there, and he is sitting and judging everybody. Everybody comes to him for a, and everybody is standing, says, you cannot do this. This is impossible. What is he telling him? וירח אותן משה את כל אשר הוא עושה לעם, ויאמר, מה הדבר הזה שאתה עושה לעם? Wow, what are you doing here? מדוע אתה יושב לבדך? You sit alone, וכל העם ניצב עליך מן בוקר עד ערב, and everybody is standing there from morning to night. ויום משה לחותנו, כי אמרו, what do you want me to do? They come to me לדרוש אלוקים, they come to me to ask for God. כי יהיה להם דבר, something is wrong. They want to know what to do, how to act. והודעתי את חוקי אלוקים ותורותיו, and I tell them the law of God. ויום מחותן משה אליו, לא טוב הדבר שאתה עושה. Look at this. What he's telling him? Not tough, no good what you're doing. This is Yitro telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Am Yisrael, that just took them out of Egypt and received the Torah. This guy is telling him, no good what you're doing. Navol tibol gam ata gam am, you will, how do you say navol tibol? You will
wither. Tire yourself out.
You will wither.
You will use yourself out. You will lose everything.
Wither.
אשר כי כבד ממך הדבר, לא תוכל. You cannot do this by yourself. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, but you cannot do this by yourself.
The help of God, why not?
So you agree with what I'm saying? That he's got this chutzpistic question, right, asking the guy who took out Am Yisrael of Egypt, telling him off.
Right.
We want to understand what's going on here. That's exactly the question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu listening to Yitro? He is the messenger of God. He is the prophet of God. He is the top guy. He, if he has to deal... Sorry?
Well, not Lord. He was very humble, so he would take advice.
Okay, but he is acting accordingly. You know, you can be humble and still go and do what you think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, what he's doing, he's staying from morning to night.
Yes.
People are out in the sun all day. What Moshe can be as humble as he likes, but he can't do it on other people's time.
So you see, you say Yitro is right.
Well, you're very right.
Okay.
100% correct.
Okay.
110.
You say he could have done it. He says, you say Moshe is right. He says Yitro is right. Let's understand what's going on here. Okay? So let's see. So what is it? What is really Yitro telling Moshe? Ve'ata techezeh mikol ha'am anshei chayel. You look what you do. You take people from the people. You take from the nation. And you, they will be the judges underneath you. In other words, you will have sarei me'ot, sarei alafim, sarei zet. You will have a chain that if there is a simple question, the guy goes and asks the guy that is in charge. If it's more complicated, it's go, like in the army, you go to the one on top of him. And if it's more complicated, to one of the... And if nobody can help, then, and only then, they will come to you. That's the right way of doing. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He is listening to Yitro, and he's doing it. And when my friend, yes.
My cousin. That's what exactly what happens today. The court system today is exactly as Yitro said. The low court going up the...
We wish it would be like
yeah,
we wish. It's like the communist system. It says everybody's friends. Yeah, we see what friends we had there. Anyway, now what is... And when my friend Phil told me this story, of the Knessiah of Agudat Israel, I realized that God is trying to tell me something, to connect what's happening here. And I saw this, what Rav Adam Sinai says. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is in charge of everything. He is on top of everything. Now, when I want to do something in life, I cannot be the most righteous, most tzaddik and like on top of everything, because this is impossible. In life, we have to know that sometimes I cannot wait in the sun from day to night in order to get an answer of a matter of life and death. Impossible. We have to find a solution. You know, those stupid guys from this town that were filtering the water. If you have pikuach nefesh, you don't start filtering water. You just go and save what you can. And this exactly was the problem. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu is on top and in charge of everything, we unfortunately are really, what do? We let people that have very important questions not getting to him. They will be at the end of the line because this guy who's got a stupid question is the first one. So what do? We take people, and this is what Ritter is telling him. You take people that are in charge on a group of 10, on a group of 100, on a group of 1,000. And this way, when there is a question, they can always start and ask the question immediately and get an answer immediately. And this is a very interesting point of view of what Moshe is standing for, but he agrees, he understands. And that's what exactly this idea of this story with the filtered water. If we want to save Am Yisrael, we're not going to start filtering everybody and checking, wow, 1 minute. Can I save him? He is like this. He does like this. Maybe yes, maybe no. If I do this, I lose him. In other words, of course, I'm not saying that we can do whatever we want to in any way, in anything. But put the thing in the mind that sometimes, especially when it's life and death of our nation, of people, from the spiritual point of view and from the physical point of view, we don't start filtering water. We don't start to purify, to be at the top level of purifying. We go and ask the guy that can help us, even if he is not the greatest tzaddik of the world. And this goes to both sides. And this is exactly what Yitro is giving a suggestion to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu accepts it. And that's what he does. Now, when we talk about Ma'amad Har Sinai, one of the interesting things is that the Torah is telling, Ko tomar lebet Yaakov v'tagid libnei Yisrael. This is the way you say it to Beit Yaakov, and this is the way you tell it to Bnei Yisrael. What is the difference between tomar v'tagid? Tomar is, leave it. Yeah, I don't want to say. What I want to say is that it is important to talk to everybody in his own language, at his own level. And this is why he's telling you, talk with the man in a certain way, you talk with the women with a different way. And what does it mean? It means that if you want to bring a message, for example, a few years ago, I've been in Germany, in Köln, for a furniture exhibition. And they asked me to say the Torah in the morning after the davening. And I accepted it. And I said the Dvar Torah in Hebrew, because we were also of Koyofu Israel. And then I tried to translate it to German. My German is not very good. It's what we say, it's my mama lashon, because of my grandparent. As I was a kid, I used to speak German. But, you know, it's not a German that I can give a grand Torah fluently with no problem, and it's also years that I didn't speak properly German, and nevertheless to give a Dvar Torah. But it was a short Dvar Torah, and I tried, and I must say, I had a feeling when I did it the first time, that was a feeling like I was standing there in Germany giving a Dvar Torah in Hebrew, first of all, in a shul that was destroyed during the war. And this is the victory. to stand in the same place where they tried to finish off Am Yisrael, those murderers, and stand there in Shul, traveling in a minyan, and giving a Dvar Torah. It was an unbelievable feeling. Then, what happened is what very interesting. After I finished in Hebrew, and I broke my teeth on German, somebody gets up and translates everything to Russian. And but then I realized that most of the people there understand Russian more than German. So Hebrew didn't understand, German didn't understand, but I understand Russian. And you know, the interesting thing was, then I realized what it is, Kotomar lebet Yaakov etagid libnei Yisrael. You have to talk with a language to everybody that he understands what you're talking about. And language is not only the language, literally language, French, English, German, Hebrew, at the level that people understand what you want to say. You know, I've been once in a family function, and there was there this rabbi, and he was very knowledgeable, and he gave a Dvar Torah, unbelievable, really very. But the problem was, he was talking so high that nobody, maybe a few understood him, no, but most of the people didn't understand what he wants. So okay, he's got the knowledge, he's very clever, but what does it help if nobody understands what you want to talk about? So this is very crucial, very important when you want to give a message. It's the same way as we educate our kids, our families. Everybody is on level. You have to know how to talk with everybody. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Kot tomar lebet Yaakov v'tagid divnei Yisrael. You have to understand who you're talking to and talk in a way that they will understand what you're talking about. And by the way, it's not only talks. If you want to educate somebody, it's with deeds. Avraham Avinu, which was the father of our nation, you know, the only sentence that he talked in the Bible with his son was that the son is asking him, "Efo ase le'ola?" Ase le'ola, that's not the only thing. So what is this great educator? How did you educate his kid? How did you know how? With deeds. Personal example. That's what we have to do. That's the real talk. That's the real talk that's got influence. If you want to lecture and you don't behave accordingly, nothing helps. You have to practice what you lecture. And then, in Ma'amad Har Sinai, happens something unbelievable. Ro'im et hakolot. How can you see the words? By the way, I don't know if I told you, but this is this guy. Let's see if I wrote it here. No, not here. But this guy, I don't remember his name. He did a very interesting experiment. He took the Hebrew words, letters, and he put them connected to a, like he talked to a microphone, and it was connected to a, how do you call it, a seismograph, whatever it is. Yes. In other words, it moves according to the wave of sound. And it was something amazing. When he pronounced the letters in the right way, we don't know exactly what is the right way. Maybe it's the Yekisha way, maybe it's the Yamanite way, but it all, he didn't have, let's say, beautiful letters, but he had Aleph, he had Aleph. Bet, he had Bet. Gimel, he had Gimel. In other words, the wave created the letters that he was saying. You can look it in Google, it's a real thing. Then he tried to do the same thing with English and any other language. No success. No connection between what the graph showed and what he was talking. In other words, we see that the holy letters, those are really the letters that the world was created with. And the interesting thing, this is the meaning of seeing the words. Ro'im et hakolot, seeing kol, yes.
What was the name of this experiment?
I was looking for it. I tried to look for it. No, let me see. Maybe I can find it here quickly. Yeah, okay, I'll look at it, but I've got it, and okay. I don't remember where I put it. And you Google it, you will find it anyway. And later on, I'll tell you what it is. Anyway, also seeing what we hear is something that happens to us every day, by the way. You know, you go on the road, there is a traffic light, you want to cross the road, and then you hear, beep! You hear a car. So eventually you're already seeing this car is moving very fast, and I should look and see where does it come from so I won't be in a danger. For example, when you hear ambulance after you also, you see what you hear. In other words, seeing what you hear is something that we practice every day. The point is that the Torah wants to tell us that Am Yisrael got to such a high level in Ma'amad Har Sinai. That's again why it's so important. They were seeing, let's say maybe we can tell it, they were so spiritual, they saw the waves of the words in the air, or whatever it is. In other words, they got to such a high level of hearing, and by the way, hearing is, the onkelos are translated very interesting. Sometimes it's to hear here, as we say, but sometimes it's to receive or to accept. For example, im shamoa tishmeu, he explains, onkelos, if you will take it on yourself to do it. In other words, lishmoa, to hear, is to act accordingly. As we said in the beginning, three different ways of listening to things. One is the way that all the nations listened, got frightened, did nothing about it. The other way is listening and going against it, which is Amalek. And the third way is hearing and doing the right thing, which is the important thing. So, for example, I was driving at night, and this guy, I'm driving on the left side, and there is a lot of traffic, so this guy is blinking me from behind, again and again and again. I know that I've got no way to go. What does he want from me? And really, I'm getting very aggravated because it's going on and on and on and on. Then I opened the window and said, you know, this, what do you want from me? What's this? And he's blinking more. And then I realized that I'm without lights. In other words, you know, sometimes we get aggravated from things that we hear or see, and we don't really understand what we hear and what we see. So we have also to be very careful in this point of view. And we want to end this lesson with, maybe we talked about it also, the first Dibra is Anochi Hashem Elokim. And I think we talked about it, but it's a good time to talk about it again. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Says the Rav Neugershal in his explanation to Sefer HaKuzari, why is God saying Anochi and not Ani? We know that every letter has got a meaning. So we can say Ani Hashem Elokecha, and everybody understand what's the meaning. I am God. Why we have the Chaf inside? Anochi. And the Rav Neugershal says a very interesting thing. Anochi is like Anach. Anach is the thing that when you build something, you put it, I don't know how you say it in English, vertical. You look if it's straight. How do you call it?
Vertical.
No. Vertical is the one, what?
What?
You know, you've got this thing with the bua inside, with the and you show that it's straight.
Spirit level?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, what God is telling us, says the Rav Neugershal, Anochi, I am the Anach, the spirit level of the world. If you look at the Torah, you will know exactly what to do. If you don't look at the Torah, you will miss the point, and unfortunately, you will go in the worst place you can. And this, when we talk about vertigo, for example, is when a pilot is. Vertigo is something wrong with your ear, with your weight. But vertigo is also an illness that pilots get if they don't look at their instrument. If they lose the contact with the instrument, then what happens is they lose the contact with reality. And they did a test with this, and they had also an experiment. I think in the Second World War, they did this experiment with pilots to see if they can fly without the instrument, and they all crashed. Because what happens is, you think you're going up, but you're really going down. You think you're sitting upright, but you're really sitting otherwise. Because when you're in the air and you don't have anything to see, you don't know exactly what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You don't know if you're going up, you're going down. Yes. So you need the instrument. Without the instrument, you don't know if you're going straight. And sometimes people like clever think, I know, I've got this, common sense, this instinct. I know what to do. We all know. And they did this test, it doesn't work. And that's what God is telling us. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God. Anochi, I am your straight line. If you want to go in the straight way, you go through me. That's the beginning. Anochi, Hashem Elokecha. And if we do this, then we go in the right way. Hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, we all try and straighten ourselves to the Anach of God, to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and not try and find it by ourselves.